This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkel, the constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Coming up a little later in the show, we'll be hearing from Senator John Boozman from Arkansas to talk about North Korea, as well as Dr. Quentin Van Meter, who has come forward to refute a recent report from the American Academy of Pediatrics. But first, the end of Obamacare may not be a dream. The House of Representatives has revised their repeal and replace bill, and it looks like the House Freedom Caucus is on board. Representative Jody Heiss joined Tony on Wednesday's edition of Washington Watch Live to talk about the bill.
Jody, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Always a great, great honor to be on with you.
Now, the Freedom Caucus, which you're a part of, and you were a part of the negotiations, they reached an agreement, a pretty high threshold they have for agreeing as a caucus, 80% having to agree on a measure. And after intense negotiations over a few weeks, you reached a point where the caucus is now in favor of repealing the repeal measure of Obamacare.
Yeah, it really has been a great 4 weeks, really. It's been an extremely intense period of time. And Tony, the bottom line, the previous bill was, in my opinion, it was just not ready for prime time. Frankly, it was horrible for a replacement. It was going to, people would see their premiums increase 15% to 20%, and that's just totally unacceptable for us as Republicans to replace Obamacare with something that's going to raise premiums after what's already been a disaster, as you referred to. So our battleground over the last 4 weeks has been primarily focused on lowering premiums for people, and tons of negotiating, as you mentioned, from the president, the vice president, the White House staff, various groups within our conference. It's been just an incredible time, and a lot of ground has been made, and we have reached an agreement.
Yeah, and I think the acid test of success will be the fact that premium cost will go down for the American family. And that's what the Freedom Caucus was holding out for, because as you pointed out, there was nothing in the first bill that would have reduced those premiums. In fact, as you said, it would have led to a rise in those premiums. And now we're at a point where I think we will see cost reductions. All of the measures as it pertained to human life and, you know, abortion and shielding taxpayers from being forced to be partners with, you know, the abortion industry, all those protections are in the bill. It's a solid pro-life bill. It's now solid on the fiscal front. Your expectation in terms of the support it's going to find in the House as a whole?
You know, that's still, I'm doing a lot of asking on that. You know, everyone has pretty much been feeling that once the Freedom Caucus came on board, it's good to go, and I think that's accurate. I think we're there. I've not heard the numbers from the whip as to whether or not the votes are there. We'll wait and see. They've not called for the vote yet, but I feel very confident we will get this thing over the finish line, perhaps even as rapidly as this weekend. I think it is important, Tony, people need to understand this is still not a repeal. We are still fighting for a full repeal of Obamacare, but what this does, it is the best and the closest that we're going to get with the conference and the makeup that we currently have in Congress, and it does place the ability for states to take it even further and to be waived out of the essential parts of Obamacare that, in essence, will repeal the thing in full. Which in itself is also good, because I believe, many of us believe, that the federal government needs to be out of the health care market altogether. And this bill does give enormous authority for states to do that. But there's other things that still will need to be done to totally get rid of this thing. But this is an enormous step forward. It is going to lower premiums, and it's the first huge step of taking the teeth out of perhaps the most disastrous bill in America's history.
Congressman, you're absolutely right, and we spoke extensively about this prior to the break, and even during the break, that this repeal bill is not a total repeal bill because it's limited in what it can do because it's a part of the reconciliation package. Therefore, it can only address budgetary issues. But it essentially, as we describe it, guts Obamacare. It eliminates the individual mandate, the employer mandate, some of the taxes that support it. And so it's really a shell. But there's still too much government involved in it. But I think people need to understand what you just said. Given the constraints of the current Senate, where you would have to get to the 60-vote threshold, this is the only way you get at least a large portion of this repealed is through the reconciliation bill.
That's right, and it's the best we're going to be able to get at this point, and it does accomplish what had to happen in terms of lowering the cost. And in addition to that, none of the pro-life issues were removed, as you pointed out a few moments ago. So this is, you know, I'm excited that we're going to be able to get this thing hopefully over the finish line, perhaps even this weekend. And, you know, then at that point, the ball is in the court of the Senate. Hopefully they will take it without a whole lot of changes, and we'll be able to have a huge win across the board. But, you know, I've been extremely encouraged with the involvement of the White House in this. It shows that we have an administration that does care about these critical issues, and they're willing to get down to the nitty-gritty with all of us. And that's not just with the Freedom Caucus. I mean, they have been heavily involved in all of the negotiations, and that's been extremely encouraging and directly opposite of the previous administration that we had to work with.
Well, that's putting it mildly. You mentioned the pro-life. I want to mention one other aspect of this, which I know you have been very outspoken on and supportive of, and that is the fact that we're going to see the bulk of funding, about 86% of the funding that goes to Planned Parenthood, will be eliminated for a year through this reconciliation measure.
Yes, and that's huge. I mean, this is, you know, we have all, those of us who are pro-life, Tony, we've been for years, anything that we could do to move the ball forward in terms of defunding Planned Parenthood has just been like a top priority. And, you know, the fact that we're able to do so for 1 year is a huge step in the right direction. And if we can do it for 1 year, hopefully we'll be able to come at the end of that 1 year and continue that defunding and hopefully make it permanent. But just the fact that we've been able to get a one-year defund on the table, in the books, in the bill, and hopefully to pass the floor and get the Senate, get the signature of the president, this is an enormous step forward. And, you know, I just could not be more excited about that. We're talking in the ballpark of almost $400 million. I mean, this is just a ton of money that they receive every year. And to be able to remove that even for 1 year, hopefully permanently, is just a huge, huge victory for pro-life.
It is very, very significant. Congressman Jody Heiss, as always, thanks for joining us. Great to talk with you today.
Tony, my pleasure. God bless.
You can find out more about Jody Heiss and the health care bill when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider a gift to Family Research Council as they continue to fight for your values in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at recent threats from North Korea.
America's primed for change. In Washington, a new administration is in place, and opportunity is the new buzzword in the nation's capital. The question is, what will we do with the moment that's before us? What changes can conservatives make to undo the past 8 years? Join us at the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., where you'll be informed and mobilized to protect religious liberty, champion life, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. This action-packed conference is one you won't want to miss. Past speakers at the event include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Senators Ted Cruz and Tim Scott, Speaker Paul Ryan, Michelle Bachmann, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Sean Hannity, Phil Robertson, and many more. Mark your calendar for October 13th through 15th and join us in Washington. Register now at the early bird rate of $99. Visit ValuesVotersSummit.org for more information. That's ValuesVotersSummit.org.
It's happening everywhere, and not just in blue states. Radical LGBT activists are forcing potentially dangerous bathroom policies on schools, businesses, and other public places, violating the safety and privacy of women and children and threatening religious freedom. In a special one-hour program, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by public officials, experts, and victims to talk about what some states are doing to protect women and children and to defend the freedom to believe. Visit frc.org/privacy to view this event and many more.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. On Wednesday's edition of Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, Tony was joined by Senator John Boozman of Arkansas, who is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Homeland Security. Senator Boozman joined Tony to discuss the latest on the threat posed by a nuclear North Korea. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you so much, as always, for having me.
Well, Senator, you've expressed concern over North Korea's actions. They put on a military display trying to, I think, intimidate South Korea and even the United States. How serious is this situation in your estimation?
I think it's really serious. Not only are they trying to intimidate South Korea, but Japan is sitting over there taking all this in, and those, all of these societies have been at each other for centuries, and so we have we have treaties to provide protection for Japan, for South Korea. So it is very, very serious. The leader of North Korea is an unstable person, to say the least. You have a country that the average person is probably about 5 inches shorter because they're malnourished to that degree. So there's just all kinds of stuff going on. They are unabashedly seeking to shrink the size of their nuclear weapons so that they can mount them on ballistic missiles that would be capable of reaching the United States. So these are really serious things, not to mention the ability perhaps to give to an ISIS or an Al-Qaeda or some other rogue state a nuclear device. So I think the president is doing a very, very good job of working with our allies, particularly with China. They get a lot of the things that they need from China. China's had a relationship with them. But I think at this point we're getting to a situation where China's really wondering, if all of this is worth it. So, again, I would give the president right now high marks in the way that he's handling.
So, Senator Boozman, based on the briefing with the administration yesterday at the White House, do you get a sense of the President Trump's strategy? I mean, is it to basically lean on China, or is there more to that?
No, I think, it's basically to, and again, these are all things that we've read in the paper in regard to the strategy with our allies, but leaning on China, and just doing a good job of that. And I don't think that leaning is correct. I think they really are, actively engaged, both of them realizing that they're, I think even China is seeing that there's a threat. If you have a situation where, for whatever reason, you had conflict, then China would have many, many refugees on its doorstep. The other problem is they don't like all of this military presence, U.S. presence. You can imagine if something was going on in Mexico and we had the Chinese fleet here and things. So, for lots of different reasons, I think they're starting to cooperate. But also, our allies on the Security Council, looking to them so that we can perhaps get some strong sanctions on the U.N. Go ahead and ratchet up even more trade sanctions, things that would hit them even harder.
You mentioned the possibility of them providing nuclear devices to somebody like ISIS or another rogue nation. How serious is that concern?
Well, and that wasn't mentioned yesterday, but it is something that I think we all worry about. Probably not only that, but technology that people like the Iranians as to how you do these things, because they are moving also with their ballistic missile capability. But I think that
the North Koreans are in a situation where I would not put anything past them as far as trying to make it more difficult, for the United States.
Senator Bozeman, part of that strategy, I think, that the administration pursuing, there's been some discussion about putting North Korea on the list of state sponsors of terrorism. Do you think that's the right move? Is that a step that is appropriate for the United States to make?
Yeah, no, I think that would be very appropriate. What's happened in the past is that North Korea has done things, provoked us, provoked others in the world. And as a result, countries have said, look, you know, if you'll just kind of settle down and not be as belligerent, we're going to give you some aid in this form or that form. And the United States, and yet, you know, them going ahead and continuing their efforts to go forward, you know, with nuclear testing and all these kind of things, that's really been their only form of income is, you know,
right.
that's how they essentially make a living. But now, Trump has said, hey, you know, we're not going down that path because it's not going to be, we don't know how long, but the path that they're following will make it such that in the not-too-distant future, they'll have a weapon that's small enough to reach the United States, and that would pose great threat to us and to the allies in the region.
You know, my sense, Senator Bozeman, is that there's people, international actors, that don't realize that we now have a leader who actually means what he says, and that's not something we've had in a long time.
No, you're exactly right, and you know, right now we're seeing record lows of crossing the border, and that's because we've got a workforce down there, the Border Patrol, that their morale is through the roof, in the sense that they're very pleased that they can start doing their job again, what they were trained to do. And as a result, border crossings have dropped dramatically. And what we're finding is if you enforce the law and the people, that are coming from Central America, Mexico, other countries in the region, if they see that, you're picking them up, sending them home, then they're not going to risk their life savings to get here. And so the president's done a great job on border security, really without doing a lot of fencing. We're going to do some fencing down there. We're going to secure the border, even more. But it appears that the greatest, security is just enforcing the law. So we can be very proud of that.
That's an amazing thing.
I think the president can start claiming victory on that.
Yeah. Senator John Bozeman, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thank you. And you're right. Like I said, we've got a president that means business and is going to do what he says. So thank you so much for having me, as always.
You can find out more about Senator Bozeman when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to the Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we come back, a look at the Jekyll and Hyde logic of the American Academy of Pediatrics.
It's happening everywhere and not just in blue states. Radical LGBT activists are forcing potentially dangerous policies on schools, businesses, and other public places, violating the safety and privacy of women and threatening religious freedom. How can churches help protect their community and be a voice for the vulnerable on these issues? What can state legislators do to push back against local ordinances and federal efforts to allow men into girls' showers, restrooms, and locker rooms? What can parents and voters do? In a special one-hour program, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, and others, including experts and victims, to talk about what some states are doing to protect the safety and privacy of women and children and to defend the freedom to believe. Visit frc.org/privacy to view this event and many more.
America's primed for change. In Washington, a new administration is in place, and opportunity is the new buzzword in the nation's capital. The question is, what will we do with the moment that's before us? What changes can conservatives make to undo the past 8 years? Join us at the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., where you'll be informed and mobilized to protect religious liberty champion life, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. This action-packed conference is one you won't want to miss. Past speakers at the event include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Senators Ted Cruz and Tim Scott, Speaker Paul Ryan, Michelle Bachmann, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Sean Hannity, Phil Robertson, and many more. Mark your calendar for October 13th through 15th and join us in Washington. Register now at the early bird rate of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. The American Academy of Pediatrics recently released a study that they claim shows that a teenager has a more difficult time reasoning when to cross the street than they do figuring out if they want to undergo a sex change operation. Here to discuss the study is the Vice President of the American College of Pediatricians, Dr. Quentin Van Meter.
Dr. Van Meter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, there seems to be a little hypocrisy, maybe, over there among your colleagues at the American Academy of Pediatrics. Explain to our listeners what you guys called them out for recently.
Well, in April, the American Academy of Pediatrics published in their daily briefing an excerpt from a study that was published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, which showed that 14-year-olds were found to lack the ability, perceptual judgment and ability and skills to be able to get across a busy intersection in traffic. And so that statement was made, and it struck us as being rather interesting that the same American Academy of Pediatrics has strongly approved the fact that 14-year-olds and younger can make decisions without parental consent about making changes in their gender identity to conform to what they currently feel might be a better gender for them than they believe they were born into. And this is just sort of the peak of hypocrisy. On one hand, a 14-year-old can't have a judgment, should not be expected to cross a street, but that same 14-year-old has all the tools and perception and capability of being able to change their gender at will.
Something just doesn't add up there. I think on its face you can see that, and of course there is broad consensus that cognitive immaturity and impaired risk assessment during adolescence is recognized. I mean that's a factor, but
right.
And that's reflected.
You know, the brain is just not put together to make, you know, decisions of complexity and long-standing issues that affect the rest of your life. Now, people do make those decisions at those ages because of circumstances beyond their control. But to be able to grant them that capability, when particularly in something so life-changing as saying, I'm going to take cross-sex hormones, I'm going to block my own pubertal maturation, and then when I get to the age of surgical consent, I'm going to have my body physically permanently changed to the opposite sex if I can. That is essentially an abuse situation when it's done before the age of consent. It's abuse by the physicians who would do that. It's abuse by the parents who would sign for it. To think that a child can be protected from crossing a street, but no, they can on their own make that decision. It just is so absolutely out of sync with reality, and it all has to do with just being politically correct. And that's where children come to harm, when the wants and needs of parents take advantage and take precedent over what is really the very best for children. We are a nation in decline.
And I believe, Dr. Van Meter, that the AAP has gone to the point of actually supporting certain policies that would prohibit parents from being involved in those decisions that their children make regarding sex changes. And
absolutely.
I mean, that's beyond hypocrisy. And I think you have pointed that out at the American College of Pediatricians, that this is child abuse. It's what we're talking about.
Well, also the fact that the legislation which is being brought up now on the Democrat side of the House and Senate to pass a bill which nationally forbids any kind of therapy that would make a transgender child conform to their natal sex, essentially outlaw that, is just it's just the most amazingly abhorrent concept. To think that if you have a child with that degree of internal suffering, which is not really made better by giving in and making those changes hormonally or physically, those children suffer mightily as young adults and older adults. The data is in; it's irrefutable. It's painful because it's not what the LGBT activists would like us to believe, but it is the truth. And so we're allowing our medical profession to be bullied into essentially not being able to do right of conscious therapy. What we believe is correct and moral and appropriate in a medical setting.
Dr. Van Meter, we're almost out of time, but one final question for you very quickly. Is you take this issue, does this not concern you if medicine has been shackled by political correctness, where else this might lead?
It's a wide open field, and that is a scary thought. There's enough politics in medicine and publishing and in getting your research out and out to the people that need to hear about it. There's enough of that internally in academic medicine and publishing to make it a broad, essentially legal issue. It impinges on our ability as physicians to essentially keep the Hippocratic Oath intact. And that will be a very sad day when and if that happens.
Dr. Quentin Van Meter, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Washington Watch.
You're very welcome.
You can find out more about Dr. Van Meter when you visit tonyperkins.com. If you missed any of today's program, you can find a link to all the stories when you visit that website. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to tonyperkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.